Good morning. My name is Benjamin Bar Simon. By profession, I'm a shepherd. It's been a long journey to come and to share with you this morning, to share something of who we are in a sense of hope. Since it's been such a long journey, perhaps if you don't mind, I will sit for a moment to share with you. I don't know what you know about we who are shepherds. Some people don't care very much for us. We're poor, simple folk, among the poorest in Palestine, in the land of Canaan. Quite frankly, we're among those who very often are seen as having very little hope in our lives. After all, we spend time with sheep. In fact, we spend most of our time with sheep. Now, don't get me wrong. I am glad that I have something that I can do that is productive. But do not think that I am wealthy. For you see, I don't own the sheep. I care for those sheep that belong to my master. And I have that privilege of doing so. And yet many people do not like us. They do not trust us. They think that all we think of is mine, mine, mine. And I would admit that there are some shepherds who take whatever land they can without even asking. And I must admit that there are those occasions where a sheep has disappeared, never from our flocks, only to be found later on the barbecue spit of one of the shepherds. And so we are not very well thought of, and yet don't think too poorly of us, because we do care for, in our case, special lambs. It is our responsibility to care for lambs that are regularly used in the temple as sacrifices as we await a Messiah. Our lives, though, have seemed so hopeless. We have longed for a better time, a time where perhaps we would have a great shepherd as we once did, King David. The one who cared not only for his sheep, but who cared so much for our people. Who was our greatest king? As we looked around, we saw wars. As we looked around, there was not enough food sometimes to go around. As we looked around in my day, people were hungry. People had no homes. And people like me slept in hovels or caves as best we could. As I've said, there are those who don't think very highly of us because, after all, we are kind of different. We hang out with sheep. But I will tell you, my sheep know my voice. I can call each one of them by name. Oh, that surprises you that we actually name our sheep. But I can call each one of them by name, and they will come to my voice. So you see, we're not all that bad. And yet, in spite of the fact that we're able to keep sheep for the sacrifices done each day in the temple, sheep without spot, without blemish, caring for them. Even the priests will not let us go any further than the court of the women. For you see, by keeping the sheep and tending them, we're not able to be ritually clean. Now don't get me wrong, we're not pig farmers. But we do have a special role to play. A role which brings hope to the people that someday Messiah will come. Someday the sacrifices in the temple will be overseen by the greatest of kings, even greater than King David. As I said, I've come a long way and through a lot of time to share with you. The Romans were in power. We struggled to eat. We struggled to have clothing and roofs over our heads. And yet we cried to God in hope. For you see, for some, hope is just something that is wishful thinking. For us, hope is a deep desire within our hearts, always tied to a relationship with God. And we cried unto God, "Oh, dear Lord, where is our hope? Fulfill our hope." I still remember that night as if it were yesterday. Some of us had already gone to sleep. Others of us were sitting around telling sheep stories around the fire, and stories of battling wolves and bears and lions. No tigers. And as we were sitting there, suddenly there was a bright light just off over the horizon, and it rose quickly. And there was a man. A man suspended in the air in glowing white robes, so bright that I had to shield my eyes from it. And as much as I wanted to turn my head, I was enthralled and couldn't. I heard cries of fright and realized they weren't just coming from around me, but even I was afraid. What would happen now? Suddenly, this messenger, this angel from God, looked at us and said, "Do not be afraid. There is nothing to fear here. Rather, rejoice, for I bring you good news of a great joy, which is for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Messiah." He's a Savior. He is the Christ of God. I don't know how long we were frozen in place. Maybe it was but a few moments. Maybe it was longer. I still disbelieved as I looked. I wanted to hide my eyes, and yet I knew that even if I shut them, that image would be burned into my sight. I'm sure that our mouths were wide open. And we began, at least I began, to doubt. Perhaps this was something that I had eaten or had drunk earlier in the evening. And yet as I looked around, I noticed that my friends were also staring wide-eyed. I blinked, thinking perhaps this man, this angel would go away. And when I opened my eyes, not only was he there, but there was a multitude of others who had joined him. And they began chanting together, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased." That angel looked at us and said, "Go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem." They disappeared, and we began to look at each other and wonder, had we really seen it? as we began talking with each other, each one had a different detail as to the number of angels, as to what this angelic messenger looked like. But we all knew what he had said. I bring you good news of a great joy. I couldn't help but wonder, could it be possible that our hopes were finally being fulfilled? That all of those things for which we had wished for a king who would run over the Romans, for a king who would bring us back to prosperity, for a king who would make sure that we did not have to be afraid. Someone suggested then, perhaps we should do as the angel said, let us go to Bethlehem. And as we went, we became even more and more filled with hope and excitement and anticipation. Bethlehem, the home of David. Surely we would find a king. A baby surrounded by soldiers and gold. A baby surrounded by royalty. As we began to wander through the streets of Bethlehem and then outside of the streets up into the low hills behind, I began to wonder, perhaps we had misunderstood. Maybe we really had not seen what we thought or heard what we thought. In fact, I even suggested to Judah, let us turn around and go back into the city and search all the streets. Surely, there we will find the royalty we seek. And yet, we continued to wander into the hills, almost as if we were being led by some other force. We came to a small cave. We could smell the animals. Trust me, I have a good nose. We could hear muffled voices. And suddenly, we could hear the small cry of a baby. Surely we had misunderstood. No king could ever come in these kind of surroundings. And yet we went inside. And I must tell you that for all of my doubts and all of my fears and all of my hopelessness, the look on the face of the mother, the loving and yet protective way that Joseph looked at us and at the child, and the peace that was in this newborn's face, let me know. This indeed was a king, not the kind of king for which we hoped, but a king for us, a king of us, a king in whom our hopes and dreams would rest. The time flew by. It seemed like only moments, but I'm sure we were there for hours, kneeling down before this child, hearing his cries, watching the loving way that his mother cared for him. I must admit, over the years, I have asked, just as I asked that night as we left, why us? Why us? Shepherds for whom there was little hope. Taunted. Made fun of. Having very little to spend, And there were times that I doubted. And yet, over the years to come, I came to the conclusion, whether right or wrong, that King came for us and from us, just as we are. However poor we might seem to be, however hopeless the world might seem to be, whatever problems we may face, whatever disasters may come, in Him is hope, the hope of a newborn child, that God has decided that life should go on, the hope of a newborn king, whom angels proclaimed Mashiach, Messiah, the hope that life, not only now but forever, can have meaning and can have purpose regardless of what else may come through the world. People like me need hope. And in Him, and in Him alone, is there true hope. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And not only peace, but a peace that brings hope in relationship with God on earth and with all with whom He is pleased, because we are pleased to come to the hope. And so we face times in our world where things seem hopeless, do they not? Where we seem to have very little hope of anything going right. Sometimes, like shepherds, we feel that we really do not count for much. And yet, the shepherd's hope didn't come with the overthrow of Pontius Pilate and the Roman army at that point in time. It didn't come with sudden wealth and fame. In fact, the shepherd's hope came in a child who lived an extraordinary life in a common family, in a family that was not wealthy and powerful by the world's standards. And yet, the shepherd's hope is the same hope that we have, that there truly will be a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And He is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus of Nazareth, not just the shepherd's hope, but my hope too. And so, as the shepherds left, they told everyone that they saw of this hope. Some thought that they were crazy, I'm sure. They probably were the laughingstock at the local taverns, out on the street corners, and perhaps even among any priests who might hear. But the text says that immediately, just as they had been told the message of hope, they went and they told the message of hope to all that they saw. And so our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 258. Go, tell it on the mountain, in the valleys, in the workplace, in your home, to everyone that we see. Glory to God in the highest, for a Savior has been born. Hymn number 258. Go, tell it on the mountain.